This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor. Good morning, one and all.
Hey, welcome back, Frank.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
121 this afternoon?
No.
It's winter?
No.
I believe it is?
Not 121. 1211.
Oh.
P.M.
The first mistake I made all year. She catches me.
11 minutes after 12, it's welcome to winter.
And the days get longer.
Absolutely. That's the best part.
It's getting lighter later lately. That's what I'm going to be saying.
Really?
Yes.
You just keep saying that. Have a martini and say it.
Well, there you go. All right. Another excuse to eat some olives and my greens.
That's right.
Welcome along to The Garden Show, by the way, in case you're confused. Lord knows why wouldn't you be. Charlie Dobbin sits beside me in the studio. In the control room is James Patrick Dooley, the voice you will hear when you call these numbers to ask a question. And you remember a question, because our little mantra is call early, call often. One question per call. And the number 416-360-0740 for Toronto and anywhere else in the province, 1-866-740-4740. And I'm going to give Charlie's email address.
And why is that?
Well, I was just going to explain that.
Yes.
Because we had a rather interesting letter that I'd like you to refer to in a moment.
I'm going to read it.
Okay. It's c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay. So the deal is we have a listener from quite a ways away in Brussels.
We have listeners all over the world.
No, but one chap who connected with you via email.
That's right. And his name is Peter Hume.
Yeah.
He is located just outside Brussels.
Uh-huh.
And he sent a very nice email. He's actually located in Grimbergen, though I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. Like I said, just outside Brussels in Belgium. He really likes the show. He's a keen gardener. He sent me a photograph of his pansies. He loves his pansies, and we did go back and forth on pansies a bit. But he is a very good listener. Now, of course, it's probably the middle of the night or dinner time or something right now. So he's not listening live. He subscribes to the podcast.
Okay? A neat thing to do.
And we've said this before. You don't need an iPod to listen to a podcast. It's a silly name, but podcasts, all you need is a computer. Right. So what Peter does is he does listen to the podcast, and he gives some reasons for why subscribing to the podcast is a good idea. Because remember, when you subscribe, they just send it right to you.
Yeah,
you just get it delivered into your inbox. It's very easy. So here are the good reasons that Peter lists for subscribing to the Garden Show podcast. Number one, you can go back to past editions, which is fun because the show is fun, right?
Well, we hope so.
We try.
Yes.
Number two, you can actually understand better the second time hearing something. You can stop. You can stop the podcast. You can go, you know, rewind or go back. You can hear again a plant name or a web address. You can Google it. You can see a picture or two of what Charlie is talking about. You can go make a cup of tea, and then you can go back to the podcast.
He's got it all covered.
He does.
I mean, really.
He says podcast is the best, but particularly when it comes to some of the details that we talk about on the show. So I thought that was pretty nice. And he does work in a business where he himself finds that photographs sent, if a person's having a problem, if they digitally take a picture and email it to him, he can look at the problem.
And know what he's facing to help.
That's right. And so his recommendation is, when you have a problem, rather than trying to describe, you know, speckles on the leaves or even what is this plant, feel free to take a picture and email it to my email address, which is what Frank just gave you.
There you are.
C.Dobbin at mzmedia.com. So are you ready for Christmas or what?
No.
No.
Stocking stuffers. I've got to get basically for dye. And that will be done probably Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. Better to not do it today.
Yeah. Now, we're not saying anything that hasn't been said before in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. We are in for a nasty late afternoon, evening, and
tomorrow
with this ice storm that apparently is charging through from the States.
From Texas, of all
places.
Yeah,
what the heck?
Yeah, wacky. But I just to give everybody an update on my experience getting here into downtown Toronto from Richmond Hill, which is, of course, you know, north of the 401, north of Highway 7 is where I live.
In the boonies.
Correct. Yeah. Nosebleed country, as my brother would say. It actually was very icy at my house. It was
you almost went in your keister.
Pretty much skating. I needed skates to get from my front door to my car. I actually had to go hold the garage. I was going walking the brick with my hands to get to my car and not fall.
That's usually the way it is after she goes to a party.
I was going to say. Hopefully nobody saw me this morning. But it's pure ice at my house. And, of course, those side roads are all pure ice. And then you get out onto the main roads and they've been salted like crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and down here it's mild. It was all just wet. The drive was mostly wet.
Well, there you are.
But it's going to deteriorate.
Yeah.
So do what you're going to do and do it early. All right. So, okay, a couple other things. Well, just, you know this, power outages.
Oh, boy.
Think about if this weather does get as bad as they say, make sure you've got lots of water on hand. You've got your batteries on hand. You've got your blankets, your canned food. In my case, I've got my barbecue. We're going to have to, you know, bring in some wood, light a fire, that sort of thing, perhaps. And I love the fact that the days are getting longer. So, all right. And, one quick thing, if you're stocking stuffers, you mentioned, and that you have some shopping to do. Something you might want to consider. Now, I know Di doesn't have a chance to go out and garden much, but there is a wonderful journal called the Toronto Gardener's Journal and Sourcebook. It's put together by Margaret Bennett Alder, and I have spoken about this in the past. It's just a wonderful compendium of tips, sources, where to get information, great gardens
is
to
it
visit.
Canadian?
Yeah, right here in Toronto.
Good.
And it is available online. So you can just go to Toronto Garden Book, one word, TorontoGardenBook.com. You'll see the book, decide whether you want to purchase it. It makes an amazing stocking stuffer. Because the idea is you keep a diary of your garden, but she's got such great information and wonderful photographs. And it's just a really, really wonderful book that she puts together. So excellent sources for information. And you can keep track of your own details.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
TorontoGardenBook.com.
Okay, I'm going to plug those numbers one more time. Just to let you know, folks, it's going to be a slow day, I think.
No, you know what? Our machine's not working.
Oh, this is not working. Is that the deal?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Oh, okay.
It'll take a few minutes.
Our little monitor that we have in the studio. Oh, we have a person.
We probably have lots of calls. We just don't know it.
we just can't see that. Okay, I understand Kathy will be speaking with us very shortly. So until that point in time, let's say we take a little break here for some commercial words and be right back on The Garden Show from AM 740 with Charlie Dobbin and Frank Proctor.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Alrighty, we have Kathy on the line right now, Charlie. So let's see what's on Kathy's mind today. Good day, Kathy.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
What's on your mind today?
Oh, okay. I wanted to ask about my euonymus, a beautiful euonymus that's slowly being killed by those little... Actually, I called in about it before. It's little white bugs, I guess.
Well, actually, I think what you're seeing and you think of as little white bugs, that's actually the what's it called, Frank? You remember? Frass?
Oh, frass, yes.
Frass, which is insect poop. But the insect that's causing the problem is called scale.
Oh, okay. And that's right.
Yeah,
that's
and the scale is slowly sucking the juices from the plant and slowly but surely annihilating your poor euonymus. Are they fairly old plants?
Yes, very old. But it's always been gorgeous. It's right under our front window, and it covers the area of the house, right up against the house under our front window. Mm-hmm. And actually, the way we acquired it, I believe, is because I do the gardening at my workplace, and I use the same tools. And we got it at our workplace, and then I, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize
brought it home.
That we were, you know, I knew there could be a transfer, but I didn't realize my workplace plants were getting this. What do you call it again?
Fresh.
No. The insect is actually called scale.
Scale.
S-C-A-L-E. Now,
okay.
I do remember talking to you actually about this. And did you? Yeah, did you try? We had talked about using horticultural oil as a way to try and control. Did you try that at all?
No, I didn't try anything because I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I just haven't had time to do anything about it. So I'm thinking it's going, my one at home here is going to die. So we'll probably tear it out.
Mm-hmm.
And but my question was, I was wondering how soon we could plant another one with, like, safely.
You know, I would probably, that's a good question, actually. How long would scale or any of its baby, you know, eggs or anything survive in the soil?
Right.
I mean, theoretically, you should be able to replant immediately, but to be on the safe side, I wouldn't. I would just, to be on the safe side, probably wait one full season. Because, like many insects, they have a very distinctive life cycle, so that eggs are born at, or laid at a certain point, and then they actually, little nymphs emerge from those eggs at a certain point, and then they do certain things, become adults, and the whole process starts again. And scale have a very distinctive life cycle. And so I think the idea would be, if you can, you may find that even just cutting this plant way back, now I understand it's probably very big, but if you wanted to try and save it in the spring, what I'd be inclined to do would be to cut it back and try spraying it with horticultural oil.
With that oil.
Yeah, to try and annihilate. And that would be in like June, early June, mid-June that you would do that.
Okay.
That would be, if you wanted to, that might be worth an effort. But otherwise, remove it, leave, and just do something temporary for one season and then come back and consider replacing with euonymus. Is it the green and white variety that you have? Or is it green?
Yes. I think it's the golden.
Oh, okay.
And it's been beautiful, just beautiful. Right. Such a shame. So I might try that. Like, how far should I cut it back if I do the oil?
How tall is it now?
It's about knee high, like just over knee height.
Mm-hmm.
And right up against the wall, like our house wall, under the front window, and it's quite wide, like it's one plant, and it just spreads like it's, it's got to be 6, maybe 7 feet wide,
right,
and about knee high.
Well, so you could cut it back to about half the size that it is now. That's what I would do.
Okay. And then get some hot horticultural oil.
That's right. And you'll be able to get that in the stores now, but particularly you can get that in the spring. It's always for sale then.
Okay. And spray it all over, like in
the you're going to be very careful to spray the bark, the stems, and the underside of the leaves, because that's where the scale resides.
Okay. Yeah, we might try that, because it's just kind of it's got the scale on one end, like one side, and the looks like the rest of the vine is, you know.
It's a very slow-moving insect. It takes, like, forever to go an inch.
Oh, okay.
So that's the advantage of it, is that it's not something that flies away. So you're right. You can be selective in your pruning. And remember, what you're pruning out, you remove entirely from the property.
So there's still hope.
Yeah, there is.
Euonymus is a lovely looking plant, isn't it?
It is. The
house we used to own in St. Catharines, we had a tamarack tree out the back, and a euonymus plant was growing right through it. And it was absolutely beautiful because it stayed green all year.
That's great. Yeah. My mom in her backyard, she had a beautiful tamarack tree.
Yeah. Well, the idiot that bought our house chopped it down.
Oh.
I can't believe it. Everybody in the neighborhood was just, you know, destroyed it.
Shocked.
Oh, yeah.
That's, oh, my goodness.
Felt like giving him the boot, I'm telling you.
Yeah, give me my house back. Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
I didn't mind selling the house, but I wanted that tree to remain, you know.
Exactly.
Gee whiz. Anyway, Kathy, thank you.
I know I'm only supposed to ask one question, but my husband quickly asked me, we have a beautiful Japanese maple, and it's in sort of like a huge flower pot part
of
in front of our house.
Kathy, I'm sorry. We do have lots of other calls waiting, but you can call back.
That's right.
Okay.
And by all means, you'll probably get on the show again.
Okay.
But
thanks for your call, Kathy.
No worries.
Thanks for the call very much, and Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
All righty. Here we are, AM 740, The Garden Show with Patrolman Proctor guarding those.
Sort of asleep at the wheel there, but you know, coming to, get to the job eventually.
Exactly.
I shouldn't tease you. It is just a few days to Christmas, right?
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we're going to be along to talk to Gladdy in just a moment here. First, a few words here at AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, here with you on this 21st day of December. And I was so quickly reminded and corrected, might I add, that the official time that winter arrives, and thus days become more than...
Longer light.
Thank you.
Lately.
Is 12,
lately. Longer
12,
light
11.
Lately. That's
you tell
what
me what
me.
I'm trying to say, because I have no idea. My tongue got in front of my eye teeth, and I couldn't see what I was saying. Gladdy, good morning, and welcome to The Garden Show.
Good morning, Gladdy.
And good morning, Charlie.
All right, what's going on at your place?
I have a Chinese lantern and a laburnum that I'm trying to raise to put outside in the spring. And they're growing like weeds, and now I don't know what I'm going to do because... they're getting large.
So these are obviously inside your house?
They're inside, yes.
Okay. So first and foremost, let me tell you that they should be outside. And the reason why is because these are outdoor plants.
Right.
The laburnum is the correct name for a lovely tree, commonly known as the golden chain tree.
Yes, it's
beautiful.
It's
got shiny green bark and these long, pendulous yellow flowers in the spring.
Right.
But it's a hardy tree. So by keeping it in the house and treating it as if it's a tropical plant, it's just going to, as you've discovered, grow like crazy. It does need a dormant period, and it won't get a dormant period by staying inside with you.
Okay.
And it will grow like crazy. It might even end up just getting things like spider mites or some, you know, indoor horrible, you know, disease or pest or something. Now, it's hard to take it out now.
Right.
Because you need to kind of take it out slowly and gently. Do you have like an unheated shed or a insulated garage or something?
Yes.
That's what I would be inclined to do.
Okay.
I'd be inclined to, if you maybe start it, if you have like the coolest spot in your house, say, is your basement. So put it in the basement for a week where it's going to be darker and it's going to be cooler. It will start to turn yellow. It'll start to lose its leaves. You know, make sure it's not suffering for water when you start this whole process. And then get it out into that shed. And if it just spends the rest of the winter, both these plants spend the rest of the winter in the shed, you'd be fine.
Do I need to wrap it or anything?
Well, it depends what kind of winter we have. We know, and even our last caller was just going to start talking about a Japanese maple in a pot. We know that plants above ground in pots will suffer more from cold than plants that are underground because it's much warmer having the soil to insulate the roots.
Uh-huh.
So whatever you can do, number one, you make sure the plants aren't suffering for lack of moisture.
Okay.
If they're in a shed, of course, they're now being protected from the wind and any, you know, sun that can really dry plants out. Then it's more a question, what kind of, if it's 30 below outside, then yes, you're going to want some kind of blankets or burlap or something around these plants just to provide a little bit of insulation. If it's zero, like it is now, they'll be just fine in the shed with no protection at all.
Oh, that's great. I was trying to keep it warm.
Yeah, don't. Don't. You know what? You'll regret it. They'll be too big, too fast.
And the Chinese lantern as well.
Yes, exactly.
Put them outside.
That's right. And remember, the Chinese lantern should go, when you do plant it outside, in a spot where you can control it. Because this is a plant that's beautiful, very ornamental, but also very vigorous.
Okay. Great.
Also, another synonym for that would be invasive.
I haven't seen any around around Brampton.
Okay, well, they're great. They're, you know, they're lovely, and
they are beautiful.
You might see them, but just so make sure it's in a controlled situation.
Okay, thank you so much for your info,
and thanks for your call.
And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Thank
well, that's
you.
Very
you
nice
too.
Of you. And
thank you so much.
All the best from all the gang here at AM 740.
That's right.
Thank you, Gladys.
The AM 740 family.
That's right, and that's indeed what we are. Mm-hmm. And the terrific Troika is on
well,
the scene.
Well, you, yes. we're family. We're, you know.
Exactly. James Patrick Dooley doing a wonderful job. As a matter of fact, we have Lynn on the line in Uxbridge. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
I understand you're a first-time caller.
I certainly am.
Well, wait a minute. Let me ring you in. There you are, just like Clarence.
Welcome to the show.
Okay, what's on your mind today?
I've just been given a beautiful stephanosis, and I'm wondering if it will bloom just the once or if it will keep going.
Oh, no, it should keep going. Now, it's actually called stephanotis.
Okay.
Okay, so if anybody wanted to look that up on the web or in a book, so it's like Stephanie, S-T-E-P-H-A-N, and then O-T-I-S, Otis.
Okay.
Wonderfully fragrant plant.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, Charlie has just shown me a picture in one of her fabulous little books here. And boy, it's a pretty little plant.
It is. And I was trying to go to the web where there's always great images. But, of course, we're having, for some reason, our computer, I think, has gone on an early Christmas holiday. So it doesn't want to be very cooperative. But I do have my wonderful, it is really a great little Bible called The Houseplant Expert by Dr. D.G. Hessian, a British botanist. And
he's got to be good.
The houseplant expert. It's got everything in it. But stephanotis, secrets of success. Average warmth, so regular, house temperatures, 55 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Of course, light, keep it in a bright spot. Mm-hmm. No direct sun in the summer because it does tend to burn if it's in too hot a spot in the summer. But for now, of course, it can be right in a window. Keep compost or soil moist at all times.
Okay.
However, water sparingly in winter. So it's one of those, when it's actively growing, as most of our tropicals are actively growing in the summer, we water a lot more than we do in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Mist the leaves, keep the humidity high. No drafts, no hot drafts, no cold drafts. Okay. Make a pebble tray to sit below the plant. A pebble tray is just a tray filled with pebbles, and then the plant sits on top of the pebbles, and you keep water around the pebbles at all times. The water evaporates around your tropical plant, and it alleviates the need for a lot of misting.
Okay.
All right. And you will find that imagine it's blooming now, it would make sense to feed it once a month when it's in bloom.
Okay.
All right.
Good information. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And the same to you, Lynn.
Good luck with that. It's a lovely plant.
That was beautiful.
All right.
Calling in from Uxbridge. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Bye-bye.
Actually, I used to live halfway between, Stouffville and Uxbridge.
Right.
Little hamlet called Goodwood.
Yeah, one of those blinkery mess kind
That's
of places.
Right.
But it's so pretty up there. It's all like Christmas garden country up there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Historical home. Not all of them.
We had 14 and a half acres, and I grew weeds.
I thought you were going to say you grew weed. You were ahead of the game there.
Although, I will tell you, I threw a party one time in the summer, and I offered some of the staff at the radio station I was working at that time, a little plot of their own garden. Well, wouldn't you know, one of the guys started to grow a little pot out there. Yeah, unbeknownst to I didn't even know what they looked like, And I was going, he's coming along real good with his plants.
Yeah, look how big his big green plants are.
And one of my buddies said, you better get that stuff cleared out. What an idiot. Yeah, and now my son, who is a cop, he would know right away.
Yes, he would have told you.
There you go. what an idiot I am. Well,
that's okay. That's how we learn, right?
David is next. And
okay.
David, you're a first-time caller from Brantford, true?
Absolutely true.
Well, wait a minute. There we are.
Welcome.
You're officially onto the show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your wings. What's going on in your garden, David?
Well, I have a
what I think is a Majesty palm, Charlie. I bought it at a grocery store this summer for $9.99, and I had it on my patio outside. Of course, we've had a wet summer. Just grew and grew and grew. It's probably about 4 or 5 feet tall now. I brought it inside when before the weather got too cold, and it seemed all right, but then it started turning all brown. Now, I have sent an email to you at c.dobbin@mzmedia.com, but I just did that about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay, great.
The instructions with the plant seem so generic. I've kept it moist. I've tried to mist it. At one point, as I say in the email, I think I saw like maybe a bit of a fine spider web on the branches, which I cleaned off. And I have sprayed it in the past a little bit with some soapy water, but it's still, it's got a couple of green branches. The rest of it is just seems to be still slowly dying, very, very brittle.
Okay. Well, you know what? That almost does sound a bit spider mite-like. The way I usually, well, there's two ways you can tell when you've got spider mite, because they're so small, you can't see them. You need a big magnifying glass to actually see the insect, but which actually is technically not an insect. It's a spider, but nevertheless, somebody's going to say, she's calling a spider an insect.
It's an arachnid.
Exactly.
Good for you.
You got your eight legs, you got your six legs. So they're impossible to see with the naked eye, but you can see the webbing. So what I do with any plant that I suspect might have spider mite is I move it so that if a plant is in between me and a window, and by looking at the plant with the window behind, you can often see the webbing. The webbing will obviously be towards either the bottom of the leaves or between the leaves. In any kind of an axle where leaf and stem come together, you will see webbing across that point. The other thing is that plants with spider mite have a certain look to them because the actual mite is sucking juices from the plant. And so the green of the leaf, when it starts to show the stress and distress of this infestation, it gets this grainy look. So the green starts disappearing in like a speckled pattern. So instead of a solid green leaf, you've got green with white speckles, for lack of a better term, actually appearing. And that's because of what the spiders are doing on the underside of the leaves. If you are quite convinced that you may have spider mite, which you may, it is a really thorough soap and water spray. It's every crack and cranny of the plant has to be sprayed to the dripping point. So that's in the bathtub or somewhere where you can really spray, because there's overspray like crazy with the soap when you're doing this properly.
Two or three drops of dish soap in a spray bottle?
But it's got to be soap. And it is a
Not a dish detergent.
It could be a dish soap, but not a dish detergent.
Okay.
Okay, and it is a 40-to-1 ratio is what is your mix. So for every 1 teaspoon of soap, I believe it's a gallon of water. And you mix that up and you spray. Problem with palms is because the new growth comes from in the center.
Right.
It's very hard to spray down into where the new growth is coming from. And also spider mite have a fairly quick life cycle and the soap will not kill the eggs. So even a thorough spraying once must be followed up with another thorough spraying within the next 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
And then on principle, I would even do it a third time, 7 to 10 days later. But you paid $10 for the plant. So there's there's always the option to say, okay, forget it. Outside you go. Go enjoy the ice storm. I'm going back to the grocery store to get another one.
See, I like that.
Cut off the dead or dying fronds.
Yes, do.
Okay.
Cut those off, remove them from the property. And remember as well, don't use regular tap water. Sometimes like real aficionados of beautiful tropical plants will use distilled water, just to avoid the salt buildup and the fluorides and the chlorines and all the things that are in our water.
Okay.
They will use distilled water to water their plants, and then they avoid all the brown tips.
I have access to natural well water.
Oh.
But, it, of course, it'd be
full of minerals.
But
yeah.
You're saying distilled water would be better.
Yeah, it's always better because you know you're not adding any unnecessary minerals or salts.
And can I give it too much water? Can that be a problem?
You can if it's soggy. I mean, one of the ways we know we've overwatered a plant or a palm particularly, lay it on its side on some newspaper, pull the pot off and smell the roots. If it smells at all swampy or soggy, you know it's been overwatered. So at this time of year, all of our plants, generally speaking, want to be kept on the dry side. We can really go, you know, like you had a good experience this summer when it was outside, lots of rain, no problem. Plant was using all that water. But now the plants have been slowing down. They're not using as much water. Okay.
Okay, so keep it on the dry side.
Yep.
Use the soap and water.
Yep.
40-to-1 mix.
Yep.
Every 7 to 10 days for at least 3 times.
That's it.
And don't worry about not keeping it misted and moist all the time.
Misting is good, but don't keep it moist all the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Misting is fine. Thank you very, very much, Charlie.
You're very, very welcome.
To listen to the show.
Thank you.
It was my good friend and avid gardener across the street, Jim Dinsmore, that clued me in. So.
Well, there you go.
Thank you so much.
And David, before you go,
yes.
Could you be our weather spotter in the Brantford area this morning? What's it doing out there in Brantford as far as the ice storm or pending ice storm?
Well, actually, it's fairly mild. Last night, we thought we were going to have some freezing rain. I'm just walking to the door here. But it's just, I could probably stay outside for a couple of minutes and not suffer too badly. The snow is melting, and it's a reasonably clear day, but not bright.
Right. Very concise forecast.
Thank
you'd
you.
Make a darn good weather forecaster.
I think David's a meteorologist in his spare time.
We actually have, very quickly, I'll tell you, a very good weather station two streets over on Kennedy Street. It's Brantford Weather on Kennedy Street anytime, and he does a fantastic job.
Well, isn't that great?
Thanks for your call, David. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. A very, very Merry Christmas to you all.
Okay.
Excellent. Thanks.
Bye-bye now. David from Brantford, first-timer, and did an excellent job of that forecast for us, too.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And he clearly loves his $10 palm.
Oh, yes.
He's just going to
I like your suggestion. Heave-ho out the door. You know? Let me give the phone numbers again. Okay. In Toronto, if you're listening in, it's 416-360-0740 to reach Charlie Dobbin. And then anywhere else in the province, gosh, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And if you'd like to contact Charlie via email, of course, let me repeat that number for you. C.Dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. There you go.
Very well done. How did your reading go last Saturday? Because we missed you. You weren't here. You
were
reading with the symphony.
Well, yes, I had 3 performances to do with the Niagara Symphony. What an honor. What a wonderful orchestra.
Yeah.
The first was a wonderful... animated cartoon and entitled The Snowman, story of a little boy who builds a snowman and then overnight this guy comes to life and takes him on a trip up to see Father Christmas. And it's just a wonderful thing. So I had the pleasure of narrating that, Laura Thomas behind the baton. And then in the evening I did 2 selections. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and Virginia. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And that with Bradley Tetchuk, who is the premier or principal conductor for the Niagara Symphony.
But, so you weren't like singing this. This was a speaking role.
No, this was a speaking role. Yeah. And I just love doing it. And as I say, being with that orchestra. Gosh, they're so good.
So that must have been great for the audience. So they got the story.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously your scintillating presence. And
yes, I sparkled on stage. I did.
I bet you did. And just your delivery, I'm sure, was perfect. And then having the symphony as a bonus.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't read music. So thank God for my good buddy down there, Tim Dennis, who is doing the performances of the two evening things that I did. Twas the Night Before Christmas and... yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. I stood beside him as we rehearsed and watched when he was reading the music. I gave a little couple of pause marks with pencils and so forth. And
he
got me
music.
Through it. Yes, I don't.
So he knew when to come in and out.
That's right.
Whereas you had to just copy
I had to learn it real quick. Anyway.
I bet you pulled it off.
It was wonderful. And a special shout out to Candace Turner Smith, the executive director down there. Mm-hmm. She's doing a marvelous job with the group.
That's great. Good to hear.
Okay, now, where are we going to next? Let me see. I guess Rick from White River. Oh, hey, Rick. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Vellis.
Good morning.
How's everyone this morning?
Excellent.
Very good, thanks.
And you?
It's cold up here.
I bet it is. How cold?
It's about minus 18 this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Not much of a wind. It's been averaging around 25, 30 the wind chill factor.
I was going to say, it's warmer now than it was last week, isn't it? or no?
Yes, it is. Yeah. The last couple of days have been pretty good.
No freezing rain forecast for you. You're strictly getting snow, I think.
No, yeah, I feel sorry for you guys down there.
Oh, I know. We're going to hunker down, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I have a hibiscus. I have more than one. I have before. But yeah. I bought this one last summer at the CT store, and it wasn't a healthy real plant, but it was some tricolor.
Oh, nice, yeah.
You know, but the leaves and everything never really... They'd come and they'd get wilty and they'd fall off. It would still flower, but it wasn't a vigorous plant.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it in the house now, and it still is in the same condition.
Struggling.
My other ones are blooming with aphids.
Mm.
So my question is, you talked about a vinegar rinse in the pot at one time. You know, because I think the disease or whatever is eating this plant is in the soil.
Yeah, you know? I don't remember actually talking about a vinegar rinse.
Well, I think if you had the plant outside,
yeah.
you made a vinegar rinse and you poured it in the soil, and I guess it would kill whatever it was.
Well, you know what I'm wondering? Like you mentioned, it's a tricolor. So yeah. What that means is that the grower who grew this plant took three different cuttings of three different colored flowers, plants, so probably a red hibiscus, a pink hibiscus, and a yellow hibiscus.
Yes.
Planted them all together in one pot, and then trained them probably to either be braided or spiral together so that at the end of the day you have a big plant with three different colored flowers, and it's not obvious to somebody that there's three different plants in there. I wonder if it might be worth taking that whole plant out of the pot and examining what's going on. It could be that just the way the plant has grown, that it's actually strangling itself.
Strangulation, yeah.
Oh.
You know, because hibiscus are very vigorous plants. They well, in the tropics, of course, they get out their chainsaws to trim them back as hedges. And I just wonder if that could be happening, because I know I've certainly dealt with a lot of hibiscus over the years, and the roots are just serious.
Massively.
And so it could be just that... Just by chance that each of those plants is ending up strangling its neighbor or itself.
Possible.
And that would be a way to untangle and trim and redirect those roots and see if that would make a difference. Because I doubt there's any insect in there causing a problem.
Okay.
You know, the only insects that really cause problems at root level for us are nematodes. And I don't think you'd have a big deal going on there.
Hope not.
But, you know, certainly worth keeping your eyes peeled if you do try unpotting it, as I suggest. A nematode looks like it's a wire worm. It just looks like a hair. I mean, they're tiny,
right.
Very, very narrow. But they are obviously alive. You'll see them moving.
I've seen those things.
Yeah.
I'd wait till Christmas morning to do something like that.
Good idea.
Jeez, you never know what you hear in the show. A suicidal hibiscus strangling itself. My God. Who would have known? Who knew?
It's amazing.
Thank you guys for everything. It's great hearing you every Saturday morning.
Well, wonderful. Thanks for joining us from White River.
Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful Christmas.
You too.
Stay warm, eh?
I am. I'm actually here, and I've got a nice coffee with some cream in it that's some kind of a Bailey's or something.
Oh, really?
Tell us more.
Bailey's, well.
Yeah.
We envy you.
Yes,
I'm looking at James Patrick Dooley. With a name like that, you know that he'd prefer one of your coffees.
He's got something in his coffee, probably.
Thanks, Rick.
Hey, listen, get everybody slow down the highways down there, right?
That's right.
You got it.
Thanks for that. Take care.
Good idea.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
No, he's absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
Bozos. The hunt. When was that? Last Monday or something? An accident every 2 minutes on the roads of Southern Ontario.
People are nuts sometimes, you know. They don't drive to conditions.
I know.
That's the whole deal.
Those people.
No.
Law-abiding, sensible citizens.
Lord, love us, not us. hey, we have to take a little bit of a break here. Just let me remind you of the phone numbers one more time already. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Then anywhere else in the province, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to The Garden Show from AM 740, live from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here with you, and Uta from Toronto on the line right now. Good morning, Uta.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I just heard that you said something about dish soap versus dish
detergent.
Yep. What's the difference?
Oh, there actually is a big difference. And from an insect-killing perspective, soap works, detergent doesn't. When they invented detergent back in the 40s, it's got... They discovered detergent, it's really just soap, with emulsifiers added in. And the the emulsifiers in detergent make it so that when you wash greasy dishes, the grease, all disperses. Whereas with soap, that doesn't happen. The grease all floats to the top.
Oh, I see.
And it's got nothing to do with killing insects in terms of the grease, but soap coats insects. Detergent doesn't. It just washes.
Now, can I take hand soap for it?
As long as it's soap.
The soap I use in the bathroom?
As long as it's soap. Oh, yeah, just make sure it is soap. Like, read the package.
Oh, okay.
Liquid. Now, if you go to, your local supermarket and you look for hand soap, as long as it says soap on it, I would think that would be the right trick, okay?
Okay.
And good luck, Uta.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Merry Christmas, both of you, and all the best for the new year.
Thank you. Are you a first-time caller, Uta?
No.
We've talked to Uta. I'm a second-time caller.
Oh, right.
I missed my first bell, though.
Oh, do you want to get late wings?
Well, just a minute. We'll get... There we are. Get you that second bell. Okay. Thanks, Uta.
Thanks
for your call. Merry Christmas
to you. And be careful on the road.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Slow down, Frank. Yeah. You drive too fast.
She's giving me the devil even for something I don't do.
Why not?
Well, okay. I do sometimes. Oh, hey, another first-time caller on the line. Louise from Waterloo.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I wouldn't miss your show for anything.
Well, isn't that nice?
Wonderful. You told the man about using distilled water, and I do something else, and I was wondering if I do the right thing or not.
Louise, just before you, could you turn down your radio? I think maybe that's what the problem is. We're hearing kind of an echo effect.
Okay. Is that better?
There, that's better.
And I melt the snow off my deck out the back here, and I use that water all winter for watering my plants.
Brilliant. It's a very good idea. It's like rainwater, right? And many of us have rain barrels where we collect rainwater, and I know people that even empty the rainwater from the rain barrels and bring it in the house in the fall for using on their plants
on
the winter.
Yeah.
Snow is same idea. So, it's a great idea.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certain amount of work, and of course, you've got to warm up that snow and then that water to get it to room temperature, but it's mm-hmm. far superior to any kind of treated water that you're getting out of your taps.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. What I wanted to know.
Excellent.
Thank you for joining the show, and hey, a Merry Christmas to you.
And thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
God bless.
Thank you so much. That's a good tip for, the snow's getting you down. Bring it in the house.
There you go, yeah.
You know?
Oh, boy, more shoveling.
Eliminate the snow.
There's always a downside, isn't there?
Get rid of the snow, melt it. Just get back at that snow. Show that snow who's boss.
Show that snow who's boss. Well, I know who's boss right now, and that would be James Patrick Dooley. He's giving me the high sign.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take a little break here on The Garden Show from AM 740. Charlie Dobbin holding fourth. And fifth, sixth.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah. And ten-ish, anyone? Oh, well, no. What? Okay.
Hit you.
She's starting to hit me. Time for me to stop and go to a commercial.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Frank Proctor, along with Charlie Dobbin, bidding you welcome and a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas in advance. Marie in St. Catharines calling in. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a ponderosa lemon, and it's not very vigorous lately, this year especially.
How many years have you had it?
Oh, probably 10 years.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was wondering... if I should refurbish the soil in it. My husband thinks it should be repotted into a larger pot, but the roots aren't coming out the bottom of it. So.
And it's been in that same pot for the last 10 years?
I did change it out of the original pot into a little bit bigger pot.
Mm-hmm. And
the soil is very porous.
Right. So when it dries out, the water just goes right through. Mm-hmm. But you've got a big saucer below, so you catch that water. Mm-hmm. Now, you know the roots aren't growing out the bottom because you can look, like you can turn the plant upside down and see. Okay, so it's how big is the pot that it's in now, roughly?
About 8 inches.
I think it's a great idea to repot that plant, but I wouldn't do it now. I would wait until February, March, that kind of time frame. Days are distinctly getting longer. Plants are responding to the longer days. Yeah. Frank has a puzzled look on his face.
Well, I'm hearing a bird in the background, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the bird's name?
Siva.
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 Yeah.
Siva. S-I-V-A.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's a nice name.
Yeah. She's a little parrot.
Oh,
well, lovely.
Good morning to Siva.
She shares the room with the lemon tree.
There you go. Exactly. There I can you tell. You've got a tropical paradise there in St. Catharines.
Yes.
You don't just live in the banana belt. You actually created your own little paradise in it. So listen, what I would do is definitely do this, the repotting that I think your husband suggested. Like I said, a little, give it a couple months. Go one pot size up or potentially keep the same pot. But what you'll do is have a 10-inch pot on hand, lay this plant out on a newspaper, pull the existing pot off and take a look at the roots. Are they, is it really just a mass of roots and you need to go up, or is there still lots of room in that pot? If there's lots of room, then just scrub the existing pot, have some fresh potting soil ready, and, you know, get all that salt buildup or any of the junk that's inside the pot removed, nice and clean, and then have that moist, fresh potting soil ready to go and get that plant potted up again. And you can start fertilizing at that point. And I would just use an all-purpose flowering plant fertilizer monthly, even every 2 weeks, spring and summer. And then depending on what it looks like in the fall, it should be flowering. The lemon trees...
It's full of buds.
Yeah, the lemon trees will...
It still has one lemon on it.
Great. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, is you'll keep fertilizing once a month. Like you'll shrink down the amount of fertilizer, so every 2 weeks in the spring and summer, but once a month until it's finished flowering. And then because it needs a rest. All plants do need a rest. Mm-hmm. So once the flowering and fruiting is done, then you really no fertilizer at all for a good two months.
Yeah, they overlap, so.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Well, so you just know, though, it does have a cycle, and to recognize that you want to support the cycle, so feed when active and vigorous and lay back when it's slowing down.
Okay, so would 15-30-15 be?
Perfect.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite fertilizer for flowering plants.
And the leaves, some of the leaves are kind of yellowy.
Older
green veins.
Yeah, older leaves, not a big deal. Few of them turn yellow, because that's just perfectly normal. It's just a plant, you know, shedding older growth. As long as the yellow leaves are not on the tips, as long as your tips remain green and fresh.
The leaf stays on the plant, but it just...
it hangs
it's
there.
It's not as green as it should be.
Yeah,
is
but those...
lacking in iron or something?
Well, those leaves... Like I say, older mature leaves, it's not unusual for them to slowly senesce, it's called. So they slowly die. And as they're doing that, the chlorophyll is dying, and that's why you're seeing the yellow. And it can take months for some plants for those leaves to truly just be done and drop. If they're bothering you, the color isn't good, or they're just unsightly, you can nip those leaves off, because they're not going to re-green. They're not going to suddenly turn green again once they start turning yellow.
Okay.
Thank you, Marie, for joining us.
What type of soil should
just get a good quality potting soil.
Just an all-purpose soil.
Yep. Let's make sure it's a potting soil. Potting soil is for pots.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Marie, for calling.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
And the very same to you, too. I do believe we have time for one more call here, maybe two if we scoot right along. Helen on the line right now. Good morning, Helen.
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you. Good morning.
I have a hanging ivy plant in my kitchen window, and all the leaves are green except one is pure white.
Oh, neat, yeah.
Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, you have a mutant.
Pardon?
It's just it happens. It's a mutation.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's an albino leaf.
Oh, I see. Oh, I was just curious because I hadn't experienced that before.
Yeah, it'll happen. And it is literally, it's called a sport. And it happens in the plant world and, frankly, in the animal world. It's not all the time, but when it happens, it's often very like, as you've noticed, really quite shocking. That's how pink grapefruits came into being. All the grapefruits were yellow until one day one tree put out a pink whole branch of pink grapefruits. Nobody knows why. It was just a genetic abomination. And now everybody loves pink grapefruits.
It's just like us old folks with gray hair, right?
I know nothing of that. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, so that's neat.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
And we do have time for one more call if we can.
Okay, okay.
Well, it's a first-timer. That's why I'm anxious to get to Kleinburg, as a matter of fact. That's where Marcia resides. Welcome to the show, and there's your little bell, Marcia.
Hi.
Hi,
thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
My question is about Agapanthus or Lily of the Nile. And I bought it 2 summers ago, and then last winter I brought it in and put it in a bright, cool spot, and it maintained its beautiful leaves all winter. I watered it lightly, took it out in the summer, but I had no bloom. And I brought it back in, put it in the same place, but I'm wondering what I should do so it will bloom next summer.
Okay, so this is a great question. I am going to report back next week because it's going to take a little bit of information. Agapanthus grows from a bulb.
Right.
And off the top of my head, I think your best chance of success with the Agapanthus is to allow it to have a dormant period. But what I want to do is report back the best order in which to do these things.
Okay.
They are lovely, lovely blue flowers. I'm going to show Frank a picture of what they look like when they're blooming. And yeah, that's the point of having them, is to have them flower.
Mm-hmm.
They won't flower for very long, but nevertheless, they're gorgeous when in flower.
Mm-hmm.
So, and typically they will flower like late winter, early spring. So let me look that up. And like I said, top of the show next week, let's lead off with everything you need to know about getting Agapanthus to reflower.
Terrific.
Okay.
Boy, you're getting special treatment
there
here,
Marcia.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. How is the weather up there in Kleinburg, by the way?
The trees have crystal ice all over them.
Wow.
Yes.
Hope you've got a camera handy. That'd be a pretty
sight. It's beautiful, but I hesitate to venture out with the dog.
Yeah.
Well, you're not that far from me. You're just slightly west of where I'm in Richmond Hill, and it was pretty coated with ice when I went out this morning. So, yes, be very careful if you're going anywhere.
Yeah, I better feed the birds.
That's right.
Or stay in the slushy, snowy areas and stay off any sidewalks or pavement where they've tried to clean, and now it's all just pure ice.
Thanks for the tip.
All right.
Have a wonderful Christmas, Margaret.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk Agapanthus next week.
All righty. Hey, good stuff.
All right.
Been
30 seconds,
it's
maybe.
Been a really busy, busy show.
Yeah, and it would have been even a little smoother if we had a computer that wasn't giving us the kind of glitches.
Grief.
Good
yes,
word.
Yes.
Good grief.
Oh, good grief.
Oh,
well, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be back here.
Yes, later today.
Later today, 1 o'clock,
yes.
And we'll have the diner on. And we'll
you do
have
requests.
Yes. It's going to be kind of fun. And James Patrick Dooley helps me out there.
Oh, there you
go. Help being the... helps me out, yes.
Yeah.
In quotation marks.
Yeah.
Helps
Call
me
that
out.
Help.
Yes.
All right.
Helped me out the door is what he does sometimes. Anyway, hey, a pleasure greeting all the folks. With
yes,
you, Charlie.
Yes. Yeah, you're the best sous chef, really, ever, anywhere.
Well, there you go.
So, thanks for all your support and help. Thank you, James Patrick Dooley. Thanks to all our great callers from all over the place. Good stuff going
including
on.
Including Brussels.
Yeah, exactly, including Brussels. So, Belgium. Yes, indeed. We're everywhere. So, thanks, everybody. We'll see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.